Good morning, everybody. I'm Jackie Sadowski, and I'm going to be your hymn sing leader this morning. And just a few reminders. The hymns that were sung last Sunday, we're going to be keeping a tally so that we don't have to sing the same hymns over and over and over again, okay? So, if you will look up on the board, you'll know which ones were sung last week, okay? We will be taking three requests, and we'll sing the first verse of each hymn, unless somebody has a specific verse they want to have a song, and then let me know that, okay? Okay, 251 it is for the first one. What? 126. Your choice, come back next week.
Good morning to everyone on this beautiful day. My name is Barbara Sedis, Joyce Flynn, and I am your liturgist today if you've just joined us. We're also welcoming Barbara Nunn, our lay leader, to the pulpit today so that she will be our preacher, and we're thrilled to have her. Let us begin our worship. The gospel stories tell us that Jesus always stood with the marginalized. The closed doors remind us of barriers that prevent us from becoming our truest selves, individually, as a congregation, and as a community. At University Church, we believe that if a door remains closed to you, God's love is there with you on the outside. And no matter what is behind any door you dare to open, God's love and healing presence goes with you into that new space. Whether you are here for the first or 2,000th time, we offer this space, this worship, and ourselves to you as a gift of healing and love. At University Church, God's healing love is available without measure to all. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship based on the 30th Psalm. Sing praises to the Lord and give thanks to God's holy name. The Lord has turned our sorrow into dancing. Sing to the Lord without end, eternal and ever-present God. Come, silent spirit, and embrace us. Words we see and hear and speak and sing be transformed by the word made flesh, that our worship may be wholly yours, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Submitting isn't easy, even to Jesus' commandment to love one another. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. What I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
And now, before you settle back in your seats, take time to connect with the people around you, saying, may the peace of Christ be with you, and share a handshake, a hug, or a high five as appropriate. When you hear the music, it is time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come to the front with Mr. Bacon.
Would the children please come forward to spend some time with Mr. Bacon?
God welcomes all.
How you doing? Is it better now? It's not so hot out? Got better. All right. We have two things to do today. One, we actually have a job that we have to do. And then after we do that, then I've got something special for you. So if you go around right now, does anyone have any personal hygiene items that they have for the food pantry? If you do, just kind of raise your hand. And would you go ahead and find those people with their hands raised up and bring those back to us, please? And you want to check both sides because there might be somebody on the other side too. Great. Thank you so much. And you can put them right on this front pew for me, please. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Do you ever have any trouble making a choice, having to choose between one thing or another? Do you ever have that issue like mom or dad or somebody says, hey, you can have this for dinner or you could have this for dinner, and then you have to choose, and sometimes you're like, well, I really like hamburgers, but I kind of feel like pizza tonight or something else. Ever have that problem? Yeah? Well, I'm going to make it really hard on you today. I'm going to have you choose, and don't tell mom or dad that I gave this to you, a piece of bubble gum. But here's the problem. The bubble gum is all different colors. Kind of like the colors of our rainbow, all the different types of people. So go ahead, you can pick a piece of gum. So picking a piece, sometimes you look at it, were all the colors the same? Did anybody have the same color? No? Is it okay that we have different colored pieces of gum? Is it okay if we chew the gum? Is it okay if we swallow gum? So you can chew it, don't swallow it, and certainly don't leave it under the pew like I used to do. Okay, so the gum is supposed to remind us of a couple things. One, that God loves us very much. And God chose each one of us individually. And it didn't matter that you're different than you, than you, than you, than me. We're all different, and it doesn't matter what color we are, it doesn't matter how tall we are, it doesn't matter what clothes we wear. God loves us because God chose us, and God chose His Son Jesus to come take care of us too, and to remember that. So that's the first thing we have to remember. And the second thing, great thing about gum, is this gum, when you chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it, doesn't it hurt your jaw after a while? Kind of hurt? Guess what? God's love never, ever, ever goes away. It's never painful. It's never judging. It doesn't make a big deal out of it. We don't ever have to worry about any of that. So the only thing we have to worry about is the one thing, that God loves all of us. And our job is, sometimes it's hard, like making choices, because sometimes people aren't very nice to us. Sometimes they make fun of us. Sometimes they make us do things that we don't want to do. But we know that God loves them as much as God loves us. So can we say a little quick prayer about that? God bless us this morning. We've come together to remember your love for us. Help us to love one another unconditionally, unforgiving, unforgetting, and unbelievable. Amen.
In response to the situation at our southern border, UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, has asked churches to share this prayer for suffering children and to take action to protect the children who are seeking asylum in our country. As part of the Upstate New York Interfaith Sanctuary Coalition, we continue to stay abreast of these issues. Please follow our church media closely for ways you can help. And now join me in prayer. God of all children everywhere, our hearts are bruised when we see children suffering alone. Our hearts are torn when we are unable to help. Our hearts are broken when we have some complicity in the matter. And for all the times we were too busy and shooed a curious child away, forgive us, O God. For all the times we failed to get down on their level and look eye to eye with a child, forgive us, O God. For all the times we did not share when we saw a hungry child somewhere in the world, forgive us, O God. For all the times we thought about calling elected officials to demand change but did not, forgive us, O God. For all the times we thought that caring for the children of this world was someone else's responsibility, forgive us, O God. With your grace, heal our hearts. With your grace, unite us in action. With your grace, repair our government. With your grace, help us to find a way to welcome all children everywhere, that they may know that Jesus loves them, not just because the Bible tells them so, but because they have known your love in real and tangible ways. And they know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate them from your love. Amen. Thank you. Sometimes accepting God's cleansing love sounds so simple we can't imagine it really works. We want to control how we accept God's love. We need to put aside our assumptions about how God works, who God loves, and what God's purpose for us might be. Listen to see how unhelpful all the assumptions these powerful men make in this story in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, Wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of God for the people of God. As we reflect on how God's healing love can flow through our lives, let's sing the next song, Water, River, Spirit, Grace.
Water, river, spirit, grace, sweep over me, sweep over me. Record the depths your fingers trace in sculpting me, in sculpting me. Water, river, spirit, grace, sweep over us, sweep over us. Record the depths thy fingers trace in sculpting us, in sculpting us.
Thank you. Good morning. This morning's scripture reading was about Naaman, a warrior who suffered from leprosy. Due to his illness, you could say that he was an outsider trying to get through these closed doors. While researching the story, a quote by Randy Cloud, chair at the Department of Bible Theology and Mission at Mid-America Nazarene University, caught my eye. He stated, one of the most compelling ways through which we learn God's truth as it is offered to us through the written word is by examining passages of scripture through our lens of comparison and contrast fully engaged. With that said, I came across a sermon written by the Reverend Jazzy Bostic, a recently ordained Kanaka Maoli woman from Honolulu, Hawaii, who had a wonderful take on the story of Naaman. Because I felt her view was very thought-provoking, I'm going to read her story. There are many stories in the Old Testament which make little sense to us, stories which are difficult to understand, or confusing, or maybe even offensive. So when we have a story like this one this morning, full of interesting characters and human intrigue, it's important to take note. Our story this morning has a few important characters, but it focuses on the healing of Naaman, a great warrior in the army who suffered from leprosy. As part of his career as commander in the army, Naaman has a slave girl, a girl who he has captured and stolen on one of his raids. The girl, who has been taken from her hometown, becomes the catalyst in his healing. She is a servant to Naaman's wife, and she sees the pain the couple is experiencing. She sees the effect, the hold, that his illness has on his life, and she suggests something to her mistress. She shares the information, the experience she has had with the prophet in Samaria. She states that this prophet has the capacity to heal Naaman. As a response to his news, Naaman tells his king. He goes to his higher up, says that he is just might have the potential to be healed. And the king listens and puts his authority behind this plan. He offers to write a letter to the king of Israel, ruler to ruler, and put his weight behind this plan. So Naaman sets off. He packs up money and gifts and goes to the king of Israel, who receives this letter. On reading the letter, the king panics. He tears his clothes and despairs. Am I God? Can I breathe death or life? This man is trying to fight me. He feels that too much is being asked of him, and he doesn't know how to respond. So, while the king is having his panic, Elijah hears about it. He hears that the king has torn his clothes and sends his own message. Send Naaman to me, he says. And so once again, Naaman goes off on his journey. When he gets to Elijah's house, Elijah sends a messenger out to greet him and to give him instruction on how to heal himself. Naaman, rather than being grateful, is mad. He's come all this way and the prophet doesn't even come out to see him. Plus, the river he's instructed to wash in is just the plain old Jordan River. What a letdown. At first he refuses to do as he is told, but one of his servants, who has accompanied him on his journey, talks him into it. Lo and behold, after he does as he is told, Naaman is cured. He gets his miracle. In this story, we have many characters. Naaman, Naaman's wife, a servant girl, the king of Aram, the king of Israel, Elijah, a messenger, and a servant of Naaman. This story names specifically at least 8 people, and this is clearly a simplified version of the story. Every single one of these people plays an important role in the miracle that happens. They each play an important role in Naaman's healing. Each of us, at some time, have been near someone who is ill and suffering. Perhaps this was a grandparent or a parent, a friend, a sibling, or maybe a spouse. When we are around suffering and sickness, we are tempted to look only to medical professionals for healing. They are supposed to bring our miracles. We don't want to lose a loved one, so in avoiding that loss, we often pray for a healing miracle. Part of what draws us to this story about Naaman is exactly the healing that takes place, and yet, as it isn't quite like anyone expected. The healing, first of all, takes a whole community. Without any of these people, the story wouldn't have turned out quite the same. In fact, the one who sets all these things in motion is the slave girl who was captured from Israel, who has, of all the characters in this story, the least power. This is a story about a great commander and kings and a prophet, and yet the ones who first give the good news and speak a word of hope are the women, the girl who has been captured and taken against her will, and the woman who is her owner. I wonder whether, if they said nothing at all, Naaman would have been healed. Because these women had to take up their responsibility, one in sharing a word of hope and her resources, and the other in passing the word along to her husband. Through those passages record only one conversation. You know that to get another person to agree to something often takes a number of strategic encounters and conversations. Finally, Naaman agrees. We then come to the king of Aram. He could have decided that this was too much, that he didn't want to risk losing such an impressive commander. But rather than stand in opposition, the king uses his power for good. He throws his political weight behind Naaman for what he needs. The king of Israel, when he receives the letter and the group with whom Naaman is traveling, has perhaps the hardest time. He agonizes over what he cannot do. He forgets that it isn't entirely up to him, forgets that he is not an island but part of a community, and he struggles. He is being asked to do something beyond his capacity, but he isn't God. He can't heal anyone. Luckily, while the king is having this moment of crisis, Elisha hears about the whole thing and sends for Naaman. Elisha gives his messenger the instructions, detailing what is needed for the healing to happen, and that messenger tells Naaman. When Naaman finally gets the instructions, finally gets what he came for, he's surprisingly resistant. This healing doesn't look like what he thought it would, and anyway, if it was this easy, why did it take so long to figure it out? Maybe as you read the story today, you are identifying with one of these characters. Maybe you can identify with Naaman, frustrated that the miracle you were looking for isn't what you expected. If so, we pray that your eyes might be open to the gift that is being offered to you, even if it looks unusual. Maybe you can identify with the king of Israel, not sure of what you are supposed to do about a situation. If so, we pray that you see the community surrounding you and know that you are not alone. Maybe you can identify with the king of Armin, putting the power you have behind a person, trying to use your influence for good. If so, we pray that you are given what you are able, you give what you are able, and then release the problem. Maybe you can identify with one of the messengers, along for the journey, bearing witness to the dynamics of a great cast of characters. If so, we pray that you would prompt them along their way to offer ways and actions of encouragement. Maybe you can identify with one of the women, beginning conversations about something delicate, wanting to offer the knowledge you have. If so, we pray that you would be gifted with patience and discernment, choosing when and how to have hard conversations. Maybe you can even identify with Elijah, holding the words of healing that someone else is looking for. If so, we pray you would recognize those words for what they are and be bold in sharing them. Wherever you are on your journey, may this story bring you some companionship. May each of us see ourselves somewhere and know that we are not alone. We are tied up together in this story God is writing of God's presence with us, God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. And now feel free to be a singer or a signer or both as we begin our prayer time singing the refrain of God Help the Outcast from the movie Hunchback of Notre Dame. If you would like your prayer requests read as part of worship, this is the time to pass them forward to the ushers or to the side to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. And I'd like the ushers to just wait until we begin the video or the song, until they start collecting.
Hi. I am an unofficial signer. Can you all hear me? Is this working? This song, God Help the Outcast, became very meaningful, and I think the signs actually help it become more meaningful. So there are a lot of signs. If you are fluent in ASL, please forgive my feeble attempts at signing. If you only want to learn a few signs, this is God. Just put your hand up and bring it down. God. This is help. That's repeated 3 times. And that's what we ask for, right? God, help. The one that was meaningful to me is the word outcast. So here's the group of people, and here's the outcast. Now leave your one group over here. here's everybody, and here's the outcast. Then there's hungry. So you make kind of a bowl with your hand and bring it from your throat down to your belly. Hungry from birth. It goes under your arm. Good. Show them. Right here, you're going to show. Mercy, put your fingers down and just make them go up and down. Mercy. This is fine, so we're going to shake our head. They don't find on earth. So then God, help my people who look to you still. God, help the outcast or nobody, that's your zeros, nobody will. All right? So we're going to try to sing it. Well, there's a lovely woman who's going to sing it, and we're going to do the signs, and then we'll sing it after that. Okay?
Okay, now Dennis is going to play. We'll still be watching the video, but we won't be listening to that person sing, so we're going to have to do the singing and signing. I can't hold the microphone and sign at the same time. Collecting the prayer slips now. God help the outcast, hungry from birth. Oh, them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, they look to you still. God help the outcast.
You guys did great. I can see you.
Thank you.
And now let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence. Then I will offer a spoken prayer, and then we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. And now take a deep breath. Get comfortable in your seat and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Gracious God, lover of souls, you have made us for community, for relationships fixed in time and space, woven through common experiences, inspired by shared struggles, dedicated to common goals. We give thanks for this nation of ours, for its commitment to liberty, for the vision of its founders, for the bravery of its citizenry, for its defense of the weak, for its love of justice. We give thanks for our fellow Americans, for their goodness and generosity, for the dreams that brought us all to this land, for the genius and industry of every generation, for the rich tapestry of our cultural heritage, for commitments that have made many one. On this day of national celebration, this week, we mark the anniversary of this great experiment. We pray to strengthen us in our resolve to act justly, to care for the weak, to defend the persecuted, and to foster freedom and peace. When we fail, make us quick to confess our faults, strong enough to mend our ways, and mindful of the inheritance entrusted to us. Defend us, we pray, against tyrannies that challenge us from without, ideologies that erode from within, and the carelessness that so easily invades our hearts. Make us worthy of the sacrifices made by so many. Inspire us to own for ourselves the best of our traditions. Lend genius to our efforts and instill virtue in our children. And remind us all that we enjoy this land of ours for only a brief time, as the place where we do our work, delight in our families, care for our neighbors, and nurture our faith. For one day, all nations and races will appear before your throne, measured by your justice, redeemed by your grace, dependent upon your love, indebted to your wisdom. Guide us, then, we ask. Never let us confuse the gift we have been given with the giver. Let us never confuse our will with yours. Let us never suppose that our lives matter more than those of others. Lead us instead to live out of gratitude and serve with abandon, confident that our lives and the life of our nation is in your hands. Amen. And now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our church's vision is to feed God's people body, mind, and spirit, and that is what we are all about. All are truly welcome here. Our family has been gathering at this place for 150 years, and you are now a part of this living tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way that we keep the family healthy. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slip in the plate as the ushers collect the offering, and a few of our choir members sing, "We Are a People of Hope."
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We are in God's hands and heart in bringing God's love to the world through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. It is simply loving our neighbors as ourselves. Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer of dedication. In the offering of our gifts, as well as the living of our days, may we not grow weary of doing what is right, but commit to speaking up for the voiceless, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, and all those mercies which are such a part of your heart and hopes for all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are both receivers of God's healing love and sharers of that love with others. Learning how to do that is a lifelong exercise. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 127, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Proclaim that the reign of God is near. Travel lightly, but bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Work for the good of all, avoid temptation, and pray that God will send more laborers into the harvest. And may God give you mercy and peace. May Jesus Christ give you the power over all that would harm you. And may the Holy Spirit produce within you a rich harvest of joy and life. Amen.